Let me talk to the men out there listening real quick. Guys, are you suffering from erectile dysfunction, fatigue, decreased muscle tone, lack of energy, low libido, brain fog, sleep disturbances? Hey, low libido? Ask your girlfriend or wife. She'll let you know if you're suffering from that or not. That's sex drive. If you'll text my name, Clay, in all caps to 601-327-8550, 601-327-8550, Men's Health of Mississippi and the Clay Edwards Show are going to hook you up with a free testosterone screening. They're located in Madison, Mississippi at 120 Fountains Boulevard. You can check them out online, menshealthms.com. But one more time, text my name, all caps, Clay, to 601-327-8550 and get your free testosterone screening scheduled today. Enjoy the rest of this show.
All right, folks, we're back, and it is Friday. Glad to be back here in the studios again today. Folks, this is your host. Who? It's Radio Strongman. Kim Wade, I am coming to you alive from WYAB 103.9 FM. Well, folks, it's Friday. We've made it through another week. No small feat, I might add. Well, not everybody. Not all the people we started out with last week or at the beginning of the week. As you know, we live in an area that's dominated demographically and politically by who? Democrats. A death cult, if there ever were one. And, of course, the more virulent form of the Democrat, the Democrat head, known for its ability not to give a dang about anything. Just don't care. Oh, it don't bother me. Me and my kids, we doing fine. While the world goes to hell in a handbasket all around them. But nonetheless, you and I are here, so you'll hear the show today, and you can record it for posterity, if you would. Catch it on podcast. All the areas on all the sites that podcast, we're there. And, of course, WYAB.com. For those of you who want to listen online, I recommend friends to do the same. Anyway, folks, it is an open forum here today. We're hoping to have a good friend and longtime guest. I think she's been on there numerous times over the years, and that's Sister Janie Johnson. And we're hoping she's moving in this direction. She said she's going to be over in the Florida area, so she may pop her head in the door and bless us with her words. Always words of wisdom and encouragement. Old school. Just information that, you know, oh, yeah. That's what I learned at the dinner table. And as you know, Miss Johnson has the Caring and Sharing School. It's a school which kids are taught. You remember back in the old days when daycare was Big Mama's house? Or an older member of the community. And there was always tea cakes and pies and food. There was always a pot on the stove. Nothing else. You weren't going to go hungry. And then in between all that, you got the switches and the whippings and the stern looking mean stares. And it didn't kill you. Well, that's what Sister Johnson is bringing to the table. The old ways have not gone out of style. And she has a school that meets three times a year. I think it's about, I don't know, 6, 8, 10-week course. Or 10 over the weekends, three times a year. So figure it out. On Saturday mornings. And you can bring your child that, you know, and I've seen and I have taken my kids, grandkids, and my goddaughter down there. And they have benefited from it. And your child, if you got a child that, you know, some of you parents out there, you're honest with yourself. You know in your heart of heart, your child ain't going to be crap. Your child's going straight to jail. Just a matter of time. When you buy him clothes, you buy him the reversible ones with the white stripe down the on the inside, just in case. And you ain't setting money aside for no school fund. It's for bail, bond, attorney fees. And that's what you bail bondsmen need to do. You need to start a pro, just like the state treasurer has the program for people to put money away for the kids' schooling, you know, and then they'll pay for your tuition at one of the state schools. Do the same thing for the prisons. You know that little child. Look, come on, man. You know, quit fooling yourself. This is why it's still a good idea to start a daycare If a regular real daycare are charging $80 a week, charge $50. And all you doing, you just promising parents, all we're going to do is hold them down for 8 hours. When they come in the door, we're putting chains on them. Chaining them to the floor. Now, we're going to teach them the life skills they're going to need, how to walk with leg irons on, how to walk walking up on the heels of your partner in front of you because that's the way the popos want you to walk, how to sit in the back seat with handcuffs on, how to assume the position when you're being transferred in and out of the safe and secure areas into, you know the routine. And, of course, the big field trip everybody and all the kids would look forward to, going to the East Ford, what used to be East Ford, and being able to sit in the front of a Crown Vic for the very first time and probably the last time in your life, because every other view you'll get in a Crown Vic will be from the back seat, generally leaning over because the handcuffs too tight. I keeps it real, and these are the parents who keep it real. So we don't promise the parents anything other than this child ain't going to run off, he ain't going to kill nobody, and he ain't going to kill us. That's it. And then if you got more than one child in the school, then you get a little money set aside for, you know, a scholarship to, Raymond, Hinds County. And, of course, you know, one of the things that Parchment Prep Academy was noted for was the quality of the trustees that they produced when they did finally end up in the big house. That's right. Some of the finest trustees known to Parchment came out of Hinds County. Now, JPS is no slacker when it comes to, you know, their farm system over there. But I'm just saying, Parchment Prep Academy was light years ahead of JPS. But anyway, having said that, the Gun and Knife Club will begin in earnest in another hour and 48 minutes. Is that correct, Bobcat? Bobcat corrects me on my everything, which is good. I mean, occasionally I, your host, get it wrong. I know it's a shock to you. People like Donut Head can't believe that. But I do. And he's there at the ready, my lifeline. He keeps me straight. But in the meantime, you need to be prepared, folks, for ever and any eventuality that if you find yourself in Jackson alone and you're not armed, you're going to fall victim to these streets, Hoss. Did I not tell you years and years and years ago that if they find you dead, deceased, room temperature, asphalt temperature control, in other words, your body is taking the temperature of the dirt that they find you in, and you don't have bullet holes, knife wounds, or blunt trauma wounds on you, then that's when you get an autopsy. Now, they're doing an autopsy on the young man who was deceased, they found. And it's only because it is normal for you to die of bullet holes, stabbings, and blunt trauma here in Jackson. And so, as a result of that, I tell you, you need to be strapped down in Jacktown. And I try to be appropriately attired wherever I go. Went over and had lunch with Bullies the day over at Bullies. And, of course, those my peeps over there, but I still got to be strapped in. I done seen Big Swole 3 or 4 times in the last 2 weeks. He was in there picking up a platter of food. Oh, he just had a plate. But the bottom line is I saw Big Swole over there, and, you know, it's always a good place to go over there and get it. I'm telling you now, when I go to Bullies now, I got to have an afternoon off. I got to go take a nap. I got that itis. But I did go out. When I left there, I had to go look at a couple of houses, and might be some nice prospects on those two. So we're hopeful. We'll see what comes of that. May have something for somebody who's looking to invest. Speaking of that, don't forget, you can still go to passivecashflowinvestors.com if you want to get into the investment game or just find out what's required. I do encourage you to use your trust funds, to learn how to use your trust funds more, particularly if you have needs that you're going to, for instance, you want to fund your retirement, your kids' college fund, grandkids' college fund, learning how to work those trusts. As a matter of fact, OJ used the trust in a very unique way the Goldmans aren't going to get a dime. Not that they don't deserve it, but the way he set up his trust, they ain't getting nothing. Nobody's getting anything but his kids. So, and this is what OJ did and what he has done. Same thing you can do. What Donald Trump does, same thing. Same Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos. All you got to do is pay the money to hire the CPAs to do it. But, hey, I sent you something, too. Okay. To do it, if you don't want to pay the money, then don't be saying the rich ain't paying their fair share. No, yes, they are. Yes, they are. You're paying your fair share, too. So again, but because you are marinated in anger and jealousy, which is something I want to tell you guys, I've decided that part of this next 12 months is going to be, I'm calling out black leadership, I'm calling out black people, I'm calling out everybody who's pursuing this course of action against the interests of our country, our state, our county, and our city. And those people would be those who are making their way, making their living, making their hustle, their grind off creating as many angry, jealous, envious, racist people as they can, and using the power of their office, their state, the government, their position as a leader in the community, in their family, or whatever, and they're pushing the race crap. Because you know what? We deal with a lot of anger from people who we're toting. And I'm thinking, no, we ain't doing this no more. Now, many blacks are going to be really upset. And it's hard to believe that they could be any more upset with me, many who are. But we're going to see if there's any wiggle room in here, if we can wedge a little bit more anger in there against the strong man. Because I'm making it clear now, I am willing to go to any of these council people's ward meetings, and those of you who oppose me and what I stand for and what I say I would do were I to become mayor, I will come into your lion's den. You can set up your fake questioners or whatever. You can run the meeting the way you want to run it. I'll come. I'll let you open up by pointing out to everybody that I'm a Trump supporter, I'm conservative, I'm one of the founders of the Tea Party, I have voted Republican, been on a Republican county committee before, and vote Republican, well, I ain't gonna say consistently, I vote often. Yes, I will come, because I understand that that's one of the tactics they want to use against me, that, oh, he's an Uncle Tom, he works for the white man. Yeah. You can do all that. Matter of fact, I'll let you open up your introduction of me with that at your forum. Because I see how y'all do Deborah Butler. You got all your folks out in the audience harassing her when she has her meetings and stuff like that. Y'all can do me that same way. But all I ask is, after you get done saying your piece, let me say mine without being interrupted, okay? I'm going to tell you now, you don't want this. You don't want what I got for y'all. And guess what? At the end of the day, I'm not even going to ask for the people's vote. I want them to support you. Because my whole thing is, they can't stand the pain that you're bringing. Because ain't no pain coming your way. And you wouldn't be doing what you were doing if you were hurting, if it was hurting you. You're doing it because that's how you get paid. And when people start seeing, hey, I done took a bullet, I done fell on the knife with this guy, and I'm not eating, and he's eating good. Matter of fact, he's paying me pennies to go out here to harass these folks. Where did he get all this extra money from? And he been working for us. No, we're going to have some. I want you to do it. I want you pastors to call my name like you did Trump from the pulpit. Tell everybody what Uncle Tom I am. I mean, what a big Uncle Tom am I? Coon and all. I want you to say all that. Please. I will come to your church if you allow me. But I want to go into the into the banquet hall. I don't need to be up in the sanctuary. Ain't no need for all that. And be honest with you, I don't really care to be invited to churches. I just think it's unseemly. people will make up their mind. It's six other days out of the week they hear politics, can hear politics. So Reverend Crude Up, Brother Young, Brother Mr. New Jerusalem, Dwayne, invite me over. Socrates, put together a group. I'll come talk to y'all. Credell, Kenny, let's do it. Because I can defend myself. And as I told you, I don't have to win. You got to defend. You got to defend why everything broke but you. So, I ain't scared. You? Y'all don't want this. But the only problem is, this is an idea whose time has come. Your day's over with. Your approach is over with. You just the last to know. But I win regardless. You lose regardless. Oh, you can write that in blood, too. You can write it in blood. I'm not going to be frowned. This is not arrogance. I'm not talking like Babe Ruth. No, I'm telling you because you're in violation of universal and spiritual principles. You pastors, you have been trafficking. Many of you have been trafficking in the anger of your members. Why don't you do a message when I'm there? Do a message on anger and how Scripture endorses that approach. The emotional aspect of being a man with all that emotion, energy, and estrogen, strong energy. Why don't you preach it? You exegete the Bible on everything else. Let's see what you got. See, this is the reason why I can speak as confidently as I'm saying to you, as you hear me saying, because they know they're wrong. There's no spiritual grounding, underpinnings for what they're doing. And what they're doing is the reason why the black community is where it is right now. How many members you running there, preacher? Oh, well, yeah, man, you get this stack. This is what I will say to the community groups, neighborhood associations, churches. Why don't you just ask every politician and say, look, we can round up 100 votes, 1,000 votes. What are you going to do for us? You know what the problem has been all this time? You guys think too small. You're scared to ask for anything other than something for yourself. Whether it's a white politician running for mayor or a black politician or a green one or gay, just say, hey, we know we can get together X number of votes. Now, what you got for me and what you got for my folks, I can live with that. But y'all just asking for yourself. But you like being called down there. The 100 pastors, the 200 pastors, the 10 pastors. Because that make you feel important. I understand. But it's passe. It ain't going to go in the twofold. Let's take a quick break. Our hotline number is brought to you by our good friends over Complete Exteriors Roofing and Gutters. Their number is 326-2755, area code 601. We'll be right back. All right, folks, we're back. And it is, I'll tell you what, I have a clip to play. I think what we'll do is just do a quick break again in a few minutes, and then we'll play the clip so we'll have it going. Yeah, that'll fit just fine. Don't forget our good friends over at Tom's Fried Pies. And now, unofficial spokesperson for Tom's Fried Pies is Miss Sylvia, Miss Pie 2024. What's up?
What'd you say?
I said Miss Tom's Fried Pies 2024.
Yep, you know I love my Tom's Fried Pie. I wanted to tell you good weekend and all. Wish you a good weekend, and I do wish you and Cliff that. However, your producer told me that you only want to play the Warrior song when there is a Republican win or improvement or something great with that. And I'll just wait for that for November, okay?
Yep.
And then the other, huh?
I said, yes, go ahead.
And then the other, all right. Then the other thing I wanted to say, I thought I should have told your producer, but I just thought of it. I have come up with a better way to ask people to buckle up. and I wanted to tell you. I say the following. Please go ahead and buckle up, and then we can be on our way. And state and Lyft require all of us to seat belts. And my request is that until I stop the car to take off the belt, I really would appreciate that. That would be very helpful for me. And that's all I say. Thank you. I do say thank you at the end.
Okay.
So how does that sound to you?
TMI.
TMI? What does that mean?
Look at the time. We're about to go into a break.
All right. I don't know what MI means.
I know you're figuring it out. All right. Have a great week. No, you won't. No, you.
Bye.
I tell you what, we're going to play a break because I want to play this clip here, and that'll give us more time. So indulge us if you would. One more break, right quick. All right, folks. We have Tony here on the line. Tony, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I was checking out the show. I couldn't call in because I was at a place I couldn't call. But I want to touch on two things, and I think it might blow you guys' mind, because when Satan does things, it's right in our face.
Okay.
The abortion pill that they take, the morning after pill, one of the names of it is called RU486.
Correct.
When you 86 something, you terminate, you get rid of it. RU486. Are you trying to terminate this thing? They put this stuff right in our face.
Absolutely.
Also, the war in Israel with Hamas.
Yeah.
If you go to, Jesus say, as in the days of Noah. When you go to Genesis 6:11 and 6:13, it says, and there was violence in the land. And then 6:13 says there was violence in the land. The Hebrew word for violence is Hamas. As in the days of Noah, Hamas is giving Israel heck. Take care, my friend. I enjoy the show.
All right. Very, very interesting insight. And I have something here regarding Hamas and Israel and the United States and United States betrayal, the Biden administration representing the United States betrayal of Israel, building the landing platform there so the Hamas can make their... We're going to talk about that in the next hour, suffice to say. We're going to play this clip here. I'm playing this in anticipation of Sister Janie Johnson making it up here, possibly in the next hour, but it will be a prelude. Many of you who teach school, who parent, and many of you who have noticed that there's something's going wrong in our society, I want you to listen to some insight from some teachers about what they have to deal with in the classroom.
Why is Gen Z and Alpha making teachers quit? The education system is driving teachers away. On top of being underpaid and undervalued, they have to deal with students who constantly disrespect and hate them, as if it is their responsibility to discipline these children. School kids coming out of the pandemic are so violent, they're even sending these teachers to the hospital. One of them was recorded pepper spraying their teacher because she didn't want him to take her phone. A 15-year-old girl from Georgia received a 1-year sentence at the youth detention center for brutally beating her teacher. The poor woman had to walk with crutches after that. The teenager lost it when the teacher tried to take her phone. Do you see a pattern over here? On any given day, students are fighting, cursing, cheating, yelling, and hitting their teachers and each other. It's just impossible to control these children. There is nothing in the public education system that can put a stop to this either. Even if they get an extensive paper trail of verbal and written warnings, they will keep doing what they do.
This first-year teacher, she had a principal similar to your principal that she just was like, he is like really out to get me.
Right.
And he came in to observe her, and during her observation, a fight broke out in the boys' bathroom. Now, I think she taught sixth grade, and it was a seventh grade class, or it was a group of seventh grade boys. And she was like, I'm like 5'2 and like 120 pounds.
Right.
And she was like, so instead of like, going out there to break up the fight, the principal was just sitting there like taking notes and like writing down stuff.
Instead of going to
help. And she said that she did what she thought she was supposed to do. She kept her 30 kids in her class seated and calm so that they wouldn't exacerbate the situation. Right. And when she got her review for her observation, he told her that she like didn't do good on her observation because she didn't go break up that fight.
The thing is, school principals aren't exactly doing anything to change things. They don't even try to enforce any kind of control on these children. That's because there's a lot of fear going on in the public education system. But the only ones who are not afraid are the students. What further complicates things is that parents are complicit in their children's misbehavior. When their child acts out in school, they like to blame it on the teacher for making their child angry. There are always those parents who, the moment their little munchkin faces the slightest inconvenience in school, they immediately threaten to take legal action.
You go speak with this irate mother, you two stay here. You need to back up. You need to back up. What seems to be the issue?
You are the problem, ma'am.
You pulled my son out of class. Sat in there for 5 hours.
First of all, ma'am. First of all, ma'am. You need to calm down.
I told him he could make up his...
You do not need to be yelling at me.
You need to go back to principal school to learn how to be a correct principal.
Stop.
Baby. I gave Patrick West and Chelsea the key to break into the school.
Patrick.
While other parents might seem to want to get the child to behave, many lack the tenacity to follow through with actual discipline. But parents need to understand that teachers are there to teach their children and help them progress in life, not manage emotional or behavioral disorders. Teachers can keep the parents aware of their child's positive and negative behavior. But teaching these kids the right skills to deal with their behavior and learn to respect authority comes from home. There is no longer any respect taught or learned. Unfortunately, because teachers are under so much pressure to do better, they bend over backward just to be a friendly type of person and try to de-escalate a situation. And the line between children and adults has been blurred to a point where it is almost non-existent.
I'm calling out all the parents. If you're a parent, your child is in pre-K to elementary school, elementary school to high school, I'm calling you out. The children today, I have never experienced, and I'm 22. Having to teach and work with you guys as children has been the most traumatic experience of my life. You confront the parent tries to argue with you and fuss at you because you tried to reprimand and redirect their kid.
This, to me, is a cultural issue. Parents are out here thinking that the public school system is some type of daycare where they can leave their children, pick them up, and have nothing else to do. Children wouldn't behave this way if their parents didn't allow it to happen. Instead, we see parents actually being afraid to discipline their children. They are afraid of hurting the child's feelings or them throwing tantrums. They are afraid their kids won't like them anymore. Because as soon as the parent tries to control the child will scream abuse. They are causing a scene everywhere they go. People just can't seem to find the balance between being a parent and a good friend to their children. They think it has to be one or the other. We can see many cases of parents just staring at their phones while their children jump up and down the seats in the middle of a plane, bus, or clothing store. So the kids obviously copy their parents and face little to no consequences for acting disrespectfully in public. They scream and cry in school hallways, and parents don't do anything to get their children under control. Instead, they are looking to shift the blame. Well, there is one explanation as to why parents don't provide discipline, and that is pure laziness. Discipline takes work, but it is easier to give up than to keep trying every single day, especially if the parent works two jobs and has all these other responsibilities to take care of. The worst kids to deal with are often those who have two working parents or come from single-parent households. The best-behaved ones tend to be from families that have a stay-at-home parent. When both parents are working or a single mother or father has to work multiple jobs just to make ends meet, it is normal for them to spend limited time with their children. But that doesn't make the lack of discipline justifiable. The primary reason why discipline in school has basically deteriorated is because learning isn't valued. Kids nowadays think they can find anything they want on the internet. They can also use stuff like ChatGPT to cheat on tests, so they feel that studying is meaningless. Many students believe that everything is pointless. Writing is pointless, math is pointless, history is pointless. Some can read, others can't. That's right, There are a whole bunch of school-age children who can't even read. Literacy rates and math scores among 13-year-olds have fallen to record low levels in decades. Millennials have been shoving iPads in their children's faces since these kids could scroll on that screen. Gen Alpha has been exposed to so much media, so much TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube, that they have zero imagination and creativity. You can literally see a 2-year-old with an iPad at the dinner table. This kid who hasn't even learned to feed themselves has mastered zooming, scrolling, and pushing buttons.
But you don't sit there and spend quality time with your kids. You say, here, here's food, and leave.
I mean, the tablet works just fine. They can just eat and watch the tablet. Like, why is that a problem?
Because.
So you want to raise a child off of a tablet? You think that's
okay? I mean,
okay?
They have educational stuff. I don't see what's wrong with it. Like, I need to go to sleep at some point in time.
When these children go to a restaurant, the first thing parents do is give them an iPad. Like, can't you get your child to behave for an hour or two? Can't you give them a little bit of attention and actually talk to these children? Why do you use an iPad to shut them up? Is there nothing else you can do? While it is completely understandable for exhausted and stressed out parents to satisfy that desperate need for a moment's peace, but look at it this way. Where will these kids be 10 to 20 years from now when they face actual problems in real life that require critical thinking skills? What will happen when you can't hide behind a screen? Metaverse is shaping the world as we know it, and the digital world already consumes these children to a point where games, streams, and concerts are becoming their only reality. Based on a recent study, almost 80% of children have access to a tablet or iPad. Nowadays, it's weirder for a kid to be offline than constantly online. These children have extreme social issues and little to no mannerisms. The screens are used as babysitters and to make kids stay quiet. The child doesn't engage or play with the world around them. They are not included in other people's conversations. In other words, the child doesn't learn the basic skills to regulate their emotions, contain themselves, or be patient. Anything that doesn't go their way easily frustrates them. And without that device, the child doesn't know how to cope with difficult problems. The more time these children spend in front of their screens, the more short-sighted they become. Children as young as 2 to 3 years learn to play on an iPad, but fail to develop their visual spatial awareness and fine motor skills. They become so accustomed to the 2D that the real world feels downright overwhelming. The thing is, problems at the dinner table, restaurants, or schools are just the tip of the iceberg. Plenty of research shows that smart devices give these children easy access to X-rated content. I'm not just talking about porn. I'm talking about disturbing violence that these children shouldn't even know exists. I mean, do you know how easy it is for these children to mature to full-blown gambling or drug addicts? Cyberbullying is at an all-time high. About 46% of American teenagers have been harassed online, usually about the way they look or act among their peers. But it is also super easy for students to spread false rumors and exploit people with explicit images. At the end of the day, it is not the screen causing the problem. It is what the children and teenagers do with it that counts. This kind of behavior reflects itself in the classroom. Children hate sitting still without any form of entertainment and having to listen to authority. They get agitated very fast and prefer to scroll on their phones all day. I get it. Social media, games, and videos are the only coping mechanisms these children got. Distraction is their only form of self-discipline, and the phones and tablets are the only tools they know how to use to solve their problem. By solve, I mean escape from the need to express themselves or communicate their emotions like a normal person. Yes, phones can be useful when you are watching tutorials or documentaries. But if the student does whatever they want, whenever they want it, they give zero attention to their schoolwork. This in turn causes them to have no respect for their teachers. Look at it this way. If there is nothing that school can give me, then there is no point for me to care. The lack of motivation, concentration, focus, and productivity can have a huge impact on their life later on. In the meantime, teachers are being overworked, overstressed, and generally ill-equipped to deal with this out-of-control generation. They have to file a mountain of paperwork, clock up to 50 hours a week for little pay, do reports, and non-teaching activities. Pair that with constant verbal abuse from both students and parents, and it's no wonder why teachers are going to resign and never come back.
Yesterday after school, I resigned. I put my keys on my desk, I put my badge on my desk, and then I walked out, I got in my car, and I drove away. And I'm really grateful that I made that decision, because no job is worth your mental and physical health. I have never before this year been sick at school as a teacher. I've never gotten sick at school. And this year I've been sick at school. The stress is too much, and it's okay to walk away. The stuff that teachers are asked to do, the way that we're treated by parents, by admin, just by the school system in general, it's not right. We need to do better.
There's a lot of things that as a teacher I put up with, right? Right. And yeah. I had a really overwhelming day at school, and I got home and I was talking to my husband about it. And he's like, Tell, what is wrong with your arm? And this student had just completely scratched up my arm. And I was like, I'm done.
That's what's wrong with my arm.
And it was so easy. I taught full time for almost 10 years, and my 10th year is now subbing. I was devastated. So I remember going in, it was the easiest decision. I was like, I'm burnt out. That was like the moment, but I loved that kid. Was the hard thing too, because I could sit there as I didn't realize he was hurting me, because I know he was in crisis. Mm-hmm. And then I got home and I was like, oh my God.
We can see why these children can't behave properly. But the question is, why do they have trouble writing and reading? According to Kate Wynn, a teacher from Ontario with over 20 years experience, more kindergartners have entered school with language and speech difficulties than they did before the pandemic. Some of it has to do with the fact that children had to switch to online learning. It was a new experience for everyone. Teachers and students didn't have enough face-to-face interactions during some of the most crucial periods of a child's development. Remote learning made it difficult to instruct these children. It gave students too much freedom and comfort that it was easy to slack off. When classes ended, children got back to watching endless YouTube videos and scrolling through social media feeds, which left little room for engagement and focused attention. To be honest, this world is saturated with surface-level content.
Je.
Ma.
Pelle. Great. Okay, faster.
Je.
Ma.
Pelle.
Je m'appelle.
Mi poupou.
There is no need for rational thinking, analyzing, or questioning complex topics. Everything is so simple and easy to understand that children don't even bother to delve deeper, pick up a book, or learn something new. The thing is, people who want to become teachers usually enter this profession because they want to make a change. They spend years getting a bachelor's degree, getting a certification to teach, and working in classrooms of 20, 30, or 40 students. But now we see a massive teacher shortage across the country. Just look at the statistics. Teachers soon realize that ever-changing initiatives, unrealistic expectations, lack of support, and limited growth opportunities drain them. It just adds up.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Our number is 601-879-0002. We'll be right back. All right. Folks, we're going to talk a little bit about that video. I want to remind you, Rebel Ace Hardware continues to offer the great deal on a gravelly zero turn. Folks, they're also offering the same savings you're getting during the tax-free weekend. Check out any Rebel Ace Hardware location this weekend for all your hardware needs. Look, don't be going back and forth to the big box stores because you kind of guesstimating on things. You have access to the professionals, and they're in every department at every location, Rebel Ace Hardware. Well, they got about 8 locations in the area here. Reservoir, they got Clinton. They've got on the parkway there in Clinton. They got the Byram location, the Florence location, or the Richland location, whatever that is, Florence, Richland, whatever. They're all the same down there, as far as I can tell. I headed down to Tom's Fried Pies when I leave here this evening. So, Sylvia, don't meet me there. Beat me there. So, we'll be down there. But don't forget Rebel Ace Hardware, and for all your power tool needs, don't forget the power store there on Highway 80 next to the store there in Pearl, Mississippi. All right, folks, we're going to be talking about that video. Folks, they're out of control. Even Sunday school teachers are saying this. Now, to me, being a police officer and a school teacher, man, those have to be the last two jobs. I mean, I'm talking about, okay. But if I was a teacher, I'm going to have me a taser up in there. Oh, yes, sir. And if I was teaching the little kindergartens, I'm going to tase their little butts, too. Zzz, zzz. Whenever I come around, them kids will straighten up. Man, my child has never been that. Yeah, I know. He all right now. Put some on him. Put a little electricity on their little butts. Just kind of warm them up for the big chair up in Parchment. But in the meantime, in between time, we'll be right back. All right, folks. We're back. It is Friday, and we played the clip regarding the challenges that people offering instruction, teaching, or even in Sunday school that they're having with today's kids. And fittingly, we have in the studios with us this hour is our good friend Janie Johnson with the Caring and Sharing Preventing Counseling School there in Madison County. And she's been doing that going on a number of years, at least three decades.
Yes, 30 years. We finished in 30 years now.
All right. And so she's here to just sit in with us today and bless us with her words and wisdom. So we want to welcome back our good friend, Ms. Johnson. How are you doing?
Doing fine, thank you.
Good to hear and good to see you.
Having a lot to do.
Well, what's going on in your world, in the world of caring and sharing and walking out the Christian gospel? What's going
on?
Well,
I'm doing a lot of thinking nowadays. And I realize all behavior comes out of thinking. Mm-hmm. And then I was asking somebody, what's the conscience? You know, they said, let your conscience be your guide. I got to thinking about that. I said, what's conscience? She said, inner voice. And I said, what that voice talking about? That voice going to talk about what it has learned. See, people usually think of conscience as automatic sense of right and wrong. But now I have defined as the conscience as being the capacity to learn right and wrong, right from wrong, to learn it. Mm-hmm. Just like my eyes had to be trained to see distinction. I had eyes when I was born.
Right.
But I didn't know red from blue. Somebody had to teach it to me.
That's
so
right.
I had the capacity to learn right from wrong, but it doesn't mean I automatically know it. So somebody had to teach me. So if the children are not taught what's right and wrong, from right from wrong, they won't know. And my little nephew called me from California. He was saying that, oh, my job, I can make more money if I do some shaving and cutting and doing stuff like that. He said, but that would be wrong. And he said, that would be such a dishonor to my mother who taught me better. Mm. See, now notice now, his conscience was talking to him, but had she not said anything, he would not know.
That's right.
Somebody had to say something.
Those are those seeds that were planted, what I call those ancient landmarks. Mm-hmm. And this is why I constantly point out, people ask about my stance, whether I'm doing it for ratings or whatever.
Because you're right.
It's, but not only that, the people who told me the things you hear me say, they told it at great cost to themselves.
Right.
A lot of sacrifice. And they didn't do it with the intention, well, if I tell him this, he'll come back home. He'll come and rest on my doorstep at 18, won't leave. They didn't want that. They wanted me to be able to stand on my own and have an example on what to tell my kids to do. Mm-hmm. And people today think that everybody else's advice is more important than what your parents told them. And I'm just saying, no, I'm sorry. You may be a high-ranking official and got a lot of influence and plaques and awards and all that. This woman, this man, sacrificed.
Right.
And so I take that serious.
I was just thinking about my dad, because I asked him, I said, Dad, I said, why are black folks hated so? What's so wrong? Because I knew my mom and dad were married, then they had their children, and he was working hard and all like that. And I was looking at them doing a good life. I knew he was a man worth treating right. But he said, it like this. Now, I didn't think about this until you just said that. He said, when man does not know the truth, he hurt himself and others. He said, the truth is what God has said.
Well said.
And now he didn't bother about naming this stuff that was happening to him, the price he was paying to survive with eight children and a wife. Mm-hmm. He didn't name that, all the mistaken, you know, mistreatment. He didn't name that. He just said, what man will do, he hurt himself and others when he doesn't know the truth, God's truth.
And, you know, it is that overarching universal understanding of the principle that it was, you know, this original sin that this person has succumbed to or not made aware of that he has succumbed to it, or the truth that would overcome that. And like I said, back when we were Negroes, and I'm just saying our people, we had so much common sense.
Yeah, we had common sense.
We had just, I mean, it wasn't like you don't been to seminary somewhere, you done studied, and you got your acronyms in front of your name. And these were just people who were just grounded in truth.
And knew how to live.
How
to be people.
And how to live amongst people.
Yeah. How to be, you know, I think about that sometimes. I say, sometimes people say, what do you do? And sometimes I want to say, just teaching the children how to be people.
Mm-hmm.
Just be civil human beings.
That's right.
Uh-huh. But I don't see that.
And, folks, that's one of the things that the kids get at the school. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was first heard about the school and had not been there, I just only heard things that were going on there. And I'm thinking I'm going to go in there and see the school mom up there with a ruler, rapping kids on the knuckles if need be. And it was just a different environment in the way you engage the kids to get them to open up and talk about those things. And everything leads back to principles.
Yeah, that's right.
It all ties together. But it doesn't seem like, because I had it in my mind about a school and how a school operates. And you are doing that. But the things that you're teaching will be the core basic
and fundamentals of life.
Right, right. It's the sinews or the glue, the gluten, the yeast, or whatever. Yeah. It holds it all together.
Yeah, they make it rise. Okay. Yeah.
Because, it makes the kids folks that people want to be around.
And higher.
Yeah, and higher. And
Mary.
And Mary. And again, she's teaching that societal lubricant. Basically, it used to be called home training, mm-hmm. reared properly and all that type of thing. And now everybody's taking the shortcuts. And that's what they were talking about on the video. In and of itself, the iPads and the tablets and all that is not the problem. The problem is that you still have to take time with the child. You got to talk to them.
Yeah. Now, that's the method we use, conversation. We talk. But see, like our girls don't know how to dress. Nobody mm-hmm. wants to be. We want to all see. You cannot teach positiveness without negative. You don't have a positive unless you have a negative. You don't have mm-hmm. up without a down. You don't have an in without out. So if we don't take courage and tell the children the positive and negative, they gonna have that's 50%. You know, if you teach just positive, that's 50%. That's an F.
Mm-hmm.
You have to teach both sides. how can I? We tell our children, make the right choice, make good choices. Well, I won't know what good choices are. Unless you tell me what the bad side is,
mm-hmm.
and my reason for doing the right thing has to be more than the police gonna catch me,
right?
Because the police has to go home and he has to go to have doctor's appointment. He has things to do. He can't watch me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have a watchman inside.
That's right. Those personal guardrails, mm-hmm. and that's what we're seeing now. Many people just they don't have any. They really don't know right from wrong. What they're doing is evil, has evil attached to it, and yada, yada, yada. But many of them, I don't know what the proper medical term, sociopaths, psychopaths, or whatever it is, but they have they have issues.
Right. We say everything that goes, especially mass shooting, we like to say mentally ill, mentally ill. I say that's not all of us. We're not all just physical mm-hmm. and mental. We're also spiritual.
Yeah.
So now we think we can ignore it.
Spiritually, yeah.
We can ignore it, but it's not going to go away because mm-hmm. we ignore it. Like most pastors preach about heaven and joy and don't mention hell too much. But hell doesn't go mm-hmm. away because you don't talk
That's
about
right.
it.
That's
so
right.
We have to tell the children the truth. All we ask why, and then answer it and tell yourself the truth. See?
Well.
Now, like when somebody's attempted, when they steal, or I've seen something on TV where this boy was carjacking this lady.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what was going through his mind to tell him this is a good thing to do?
Right.
Just don't get caught, see?
Right.
And he knows cameras are everywhere now, mm-hmm. and they don't mind the cameras, you see? Mm-hmm. All that, see? Care has to be taught. The attitude has to be taught. I have to teach my children oohs and ahs of life.
Mm-hmm.
I have to teach them the emotions. They don't know what emotions have. They have to know, oh, no, mm-mm. They need to know that side, too. You see, not you just say positive and not say anything at all. No, right. We have to say both of them.
Because they don't want to be judge or judgmental and all that. No, there are some things.
Teach.
Yeah,
you there. Teach.
Yeah. Folks, we're talking with Sister Janie Johnson. She's being modest here. I have to bring up the subject. You have released your book. You have a book release.
Oh, yes.
The Story and Teachings of Janie Johnson. Mm-hmm. Formed by God and called to teach.
Did you see?
I know. I wanted to let people know that you had your book out.
Yeah, came out in September 21.
Right. So yes. She has her book that is available. How can people get the book? Because the book has the things you hear her talking about now that resonate with you and you want to pass on to your kids in whatever environment, whether it's just your children or you homeschool or you teach Sunday school or when my girls were in school, I used to go with at the time they had, what did they have? They didn't call them virtues. The city of Jackson was doing something, and they would have all the stuff on the golden rule and stuff out there. But I would go there, huh? You remember that?
Well, I got a book. I got the moral. It's a book. Booklet get put out, in, I think, in 1922. But I have the book.
Right.
They used to.
Well, I had William Bennett's book, The Book of Virtue, and I would go over there and read from that. I mean, all the way up to sixth grade, seventh grade, and the teachers would, you know, even though the official policy was not to bring in that kind of material, but the teacher would always let me come in there, you know, and I always liked, of course, Dr. Marcus Robinson was over Boyd Elementary at that time. I think he's one of the best principals I've ever seen working with kids and mothers and fathers and PTAs and everything else. But again, the better you are, the less the system seems to want you, it looks like, if you're doing the right thing where the kids are going to actually come out learning what they're there for and good citizens. So yes. That
combination. Well, I say we have what we see happening with our youngsters now. That's the
it harvest. It was Mr. Robinson, but it wasn't Marcellus. Go ahead.
This is the harvest that we have. We have now for the seeds that we have planted.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because children, all ALL, all children were born neutral. None of them, no matter what race, creed, or color, or location they were born, they knew nothing. They knew nothing, had no experiences. Mm-hmm. So they had to be taught. And they were taught by somebody who was older.
That's right.
It might be older siblings or playmates or whatever, but and parents and all that. That's why I'm in favor of young mothers with young children to stay home, raise your own children, set your children the way you want them to go.
That's right.
You have a setting time. I mean, some things, you know, happen in seasons. And you got your
like
child.
Like stirring concrete, mixing concrete.
You just got a season before you're going to harden, right. And you cannot mix stuff in anymore.
Right.
So if you have your children at a daycare, I have not seen a daycare that promises to raise your children. I have not seen that. You look at the policies and all. And then plus, whatever teaching they do is corporate. It's in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And most of our families don't have any 27 children, 15 children.
You know, I was thinking about it. I don't recall being in daycare. It's just like there was somebody always around because I was the youngest out of 11. But I don't recall daycare, nothing like that. Matter of fact, I didn't even know anybody went to daycare until.
No, yeah. It was frowned on, too. Most, now, like my sister was a working girl, but when she had her children, she came home for 10 years to be with them. That's what we did things.
Mm-hmm.
If we did go to work, we came home to see our children. Our children were premium, but they were valuable. Because my mom said, if you don't raise your children, they can take the joy out of your old life. That's what she said. And your Social Security, and your savings.
Right.
And give you a lot of gray hairs.
Well, you know, we talk about this now, but I was mentioning, like I said, so many folks that as I said and thought about it, the number of people who I knew who grew up in Shady Oaks back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, and there's a lot of solid families who produce a lot of solid kids and who are now adults. And that was commonplace. That was not uncommon. That was commonplace. Not just in Shady Oaks, but throughout our country, throughout Mississippi.
Yes.
And we've allowed an influence to come in. And this is what I keep saying about the pastors and the theologians. A theologian, that's the senior person in your church or in your what district, congress, whatever. And they would say, no, son, we're not going to do that. That is long-term suicide. Now we got people who want to be friendly. They want to be popular. They want to be seen with other folks rather than just saying, no, our people, just like your dad would say, well, we ain't doing that here. No. I don't care what they doing down the road, up the road. Here we're not doing that. And we don't have enough people who will say that. And then everybody are afraid to rally around that which they know is right because they're looking around to see how many people are going to be with them. And I can't get my head around that, me personally.
But these 100% is. If we don't say it,
yes.
It cannot be heard.
That's right.
If you don't write it, it cannot be read.
That's right.
And if you don't show it, it cannot be seen. Now, we can rally all we want to, but if you don't say it, they won't hear it.
That's right.
They won't hear it because that's the only way they can hear it if you say it. It's said. It has to be voiced.
That's right. And and this is where you have to be grounded and not believe but have faith in that which you have been taught by those who taught you. And what has been revealed in the word, and then you can stand on it. But many people just don't want to stand it. The uncertainty is what gets me. And I'm thinking, I'm looking, what? And so you seem, you know, you seem like you, well, who is this crazy lady coming here saying these things? But you hold up the standard and let the people rally around that. And you may not get everybody.
Well, I say if a child comes to me two times, the parents can see the difference, because what I call children to do is to think.
That's right.
And tell and ask yourself why. Why should I give into this? Why should I do? And then answer yourself. That's what I say. Answer yourself. And we like to say it's different now. His life is different now. Now, my life, we have changed our attitudes towards life, and we have changed our behavior towards life. But life was here before we came.
That's right.
And he's here now, and he'll be here when we're gone.
You're right. We're talking with Sister Janie Johnson. The book, The Story and Teachings of Janie B. Johnson, is still available. Formed by God and Called to Teach. That's right.
It can be found on Amazon.
And it can be found on Amazon.com. That's Janie with an A. J-A-N-N-I-E-B Johnson. The Story and Teachings of. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, folks, we're back. And before we get to our callers, we got Tony on the line. They've experienced some challenges teaching also. I want to remind you, our good friends over there, Tom Smith, Land and Homes, the Land Man. Folks, you're looking for some recreational property, pasture land down there in Lincoln County. Here's a great deal for you for just under $300,000. 45-acre track in Lincoln County, fence, cross fence, secured by five strands of new barbed wire and wooden fence all along the road. A pond on the property for livestock and fishing. Power meter base in place. Rear of the track is heavily wooded. So recreational opportunities with a food plot and box blind already in place. Folks, you can get some great deals at Tom Smith Land and Home. Call Cliff Cannon over there. He's got that listed. You can reach him at 601-898-2772. We're here in the studios with Sister Janie Johnson. And again, the Caring and Sharing School, we're going to let her tell you more about that. They've got a Heritage Day coming up. We're going to let her talk about that. But first, let's take a call from Johnny. Hotline number is brought to you by Complete Exteriors. I'm Tommy. Tony. Hey, buddy.
Hey, real quick, you have a teacher on the show, and I'm totally loving the show. You mentioned the N-word, and I just want to give you guys a breakdown of what happened to the N-word. I love breaking things down. Have you ever heard of the word, have you ever seen wicker furniture?
I have.
It's called wicker because it has been taken and twisted it up to present it and make it as something else. That's where we get the word like wicker religion is twisted. Mm-hmm. Well, the N-word came from the word niggas, N-E-G-U-S. All it simply means is king. But Satan has took the most powerful word on the planet, king, and twisted it up and put teeth on it. When you put the E-R and made it the most grotesque word on the planet, but all it means is king. If you look up N-E-G-U-S, it's like king of Ethiopia.
I didn't know.
I appreciate you having like a teacher on the show and teaching these kids, because I'm telling you, the teachers are probably one of the most important positions out there, but they don't get paid that work.
Right.
I just love breaking things down. I love studying things and breaking it down. So I appreciate your show. Thank you so much for what you guys are doing.
Well, thank you for your insight. I had not heard that. That's something new to me, and I'll be checking further into it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's where you get like the Wicca religion. It's twisted. It's wicked.
Did you want to say something to him before? Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Tony. Look, we're going to follow up on that, my friend. Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, the whole – I think people just need to – it takes time. It costs. It costs for everything. I mean, we pay for everything whether we want to or not, one way or the other. Turn her up. There you go. Go ahead now. I'm sorry.
I said you have to choose. See, you become an adult. You become a grown person, I say.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you didn't die, you're still living.
Mm-hmm.
But for you to be a grown-up or adult and responsible, you have to choose that. You know, you have to choose that. You can be 40 years old and still acting like a boy, or 40 years old acting like a girl. You have to choose to take on.
Growing up and maturing ain't necessarily the same thing.
Mm-hmm. But now, I define these things for the children, because they say, "Mom, I'm 18. I'm not in kindergarten." I said, "When you have your own, you have your own income, your own address, all your bills in your name, and your insurance is in your name, I said, then we'll say that you're grown. Mm-hmm. Until then, as long as mom and dad are paying your insurances and their car notes, and you're coming over getting the chicken out of deep freezer, I said, no. No, it's
we got Steve on the line. Hey, Steve. You're on the air.
We got Steve on the line. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Kim Wade.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Sister Janie, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Listen, bless your heart. My wife is an ex-school teacher, and you speak to her heart.
Well, thank you.
But here's my question. I'm a native boy. I came up through the 50s and the 60s and the 70s, and, of course, I went off to try to make a living. But I've been around here, and I've just seen a progressive loss of each generation. And just doing some rough math, there's probably three, possibly four generations that have lost the original ability to raise their children.
Hmm. We went to work.
If not godly, at least good citizens, accepted by the community. Hmm. Now, here we are. Three or four generations down the pike, and it's I'm not really sure of this, but it seems like, just from my experience, it's getting worse.
Mm.
How can you seem to have a solution that works where you work it?
Oh, yes.
So how are we going to expand on this? What would you suggest we do? And then I'm going to hang up and listen.
Thanks, yeah. Steve. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah. Now, I got this teaching style from my dad. He had eight children, and he has goals for his children. He got all of that from we got that, and my mom had certain goals for her children. She got that too, and so when my husband and I got married, we agreed that I would be a stay home mom. So I was asking him, are we going to raise the child the way you were taught, the way I was taught? Are we going to create our own? He said, well, since you're going to be with the child day and night, he said, I think it'd be easier for you to go and teach it like you were taught. And that's what we did. I stayed home, mm-hmm. and I taught the boy. I told him exactly what I want him to think and define how to define things and what mm-hmm. to think. And I wasn't afraid to do it. Now, right now, he asked, what should we do? We have to ask ourselves why. You have to ask ourselves, where is this going to lead to? Then we have to tell ourselves the truth, because we lie, especially got a little piece of education, we lie real bad.
Mm.
When we got kind of smart, I mean, that's why I don't argue with smart people, because they have answers for everything and no solutions. So the truth has solutions, and I think through. So I say the answer to, we're going to have to stop and tell the truth. We have to say to ourselves, taking my six-week-old baby to the daycare, and they grow up in there for 4 or 5 years before they go to regular school. We don't know what they're seeing, what they're experiencing, what they're being taught. And even 2 year old, there can be a bully at the table. Your children can be bullied in daycare, and you don't even know it. They eat the food they like on their plate, and they eat it off your child's plate too. And our children experiencing. Mm. Stuff they should not be experiencing at 2, 3, and 4 years old. You see, your child needs to be home with you where you're teaching them how they can be socialized into what it means to be a human being and how to forgive one another and get along. And I think a lot of separation and divorce happen too because we don't know how
mm-hmm.
to forgive and how to work together. But we have to tell the truth. We always want to put a spin on a positive spin, but if it's positive spin, not being honest and true, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
See, lies don't solve problems.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, making the commitment that regardless of the heat of the fellowship, you're going to have the discussion, you're going to have, and then you're going to put it behind you, you're going to work it through, rather than just saying, well, you know what, I cannot live with this, I can't take this L, I can't take this loss on this topic, and I'm ready to break camp, leave this whole family relationship. We got to grow beyond that.
That's
what the video that I was just playing, that's what the guy said. These kids, because they always have their face in the iPad and the tablets, They never learn about interacting with folks. They never learn what happens when you're told no or you run against somebody who wants to not allow you to use your phone in school, and then you're ready to jump on the teacher because you have never been told that there are certain environments. You know, that's one of the things of the late Stephen Mason over at Greater Pearly Grove, and they still do this. Their children's church, they bring the kids in, not for the entire message or the entire church service, but they bring the kids into the sanctuary up in the balconies. So teach them how to come in. You don't even know they're up there because they come in there so quietly, so orderly. They sit there, and that's the whole purpose, to show them how to sit still in church.
Yes.
Without looking at your iPhone, not doing this or that, and then they take them back out. They may sit there for a half hour, whatever the case may be, but they're getting them used to that their environments. And when they get back there, then they can do whatever it is they're doing in the kids' room. But when they come into the sanctuary.
Yes, I always say, too, if they're not in the sanctuary, they don't see anything, they won't even know how to have church.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They won't know how to have church.
That's right.
And they need to hear the old folks pray.
That's
they need
right.
to hear the old folks praying. They need to hear them calling names.
Mm-hmm.
And parents need to pray for their children. The children need to hear them praying.
Right.
See, before the children leave out for school. Now, the way we did it at our home was, we tried to practice the Bible in our house because we knew our son, that's he was learning how to be a person. So we read scripture, not a whole lot of scripture, about two verses in the morning before we ate breakfast. And I didn't have cold cereal. We never had cold cereal for breakfast. I always had hot breakfast. So I just did. I just don't know. we ate cereal at night if you want to as a snack.
Right.
But therefore the son learned that you have a meal. We sat down every morning, had the breakfast, and we had the scripture and prayer. And then while they were eating, because I was a stay-at-home mom, I would explain the scripture because I didn't have to catch anything
or
go out. And then when he came home from school, I would have a snack out there for him, and I would go back in my bedroom or whatever. And the Lord spoke to me and said he needed to be detoxed.
Mm.
He had been out in the world.
Right.
With different kind of teaching and seeing and all. So I said, okay, I mend my socks at the table with him and ask what happened so I can explain it and tell him how to deal with it.
Right, right.
But you have to have parenting is a one-time thing, you know.
That's right. They pass that way one time.
And we said, we got these young girls who 16 and 15 having babies. I said, why are they having them?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they having them? They have not been taught. They didn't learn. You need to. We have to have a strong no and a when and a where and all that. You have to have it strong enough for them to hear it.
And unambiguous.
Yes.
Unambiguous. Folks, we're talking with Sister Janie Johnson. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Heritage Day that's coming up, and we'll let her tell us more about it. We'll be right back. All right, folks, we're back. And one of the listeners asking for the correct spelling of your name is Janie. J-A-N-N-I-E, huh?
Yes, that's correct.
J-A-N-N-I-E-B Johnson, and the book is called The Story and Teachings of Janie B. Johnson, and it's on Amazon.com. So it's Janie with an A, all right? Mm-hmm. Also, I want to remind you, reinforce that our good friends over at Rebel Ace Hardware still has the Gravely lawn care products available. Folks, they're giving them to you at the great prices they had during the special last week regarding the tax-free weekend. Those prices are still available to all of you at any of the locations. So check it out today. The zero turns are available. Financing is available. Gravely is available to you. All right, who do we have? All right, now we got Sister Johnson. Now tell us about Heritage Day.
Yes, that's May the 4th at 10 a.m. at 927 Robinson Spring Road, Madison. We're going to have our Heritage Day, and we do a lot of talking about old things, because the school is really, it was a school, it was a home, and now it's back to a school. That school was built back in 1917 when blacks were not allowed to go to public school. It's a one-room school, then it went into a two-room school because we outgrew that one room. And I actually attended the school. But when it became a residence, we have the field. You can see the rows where we had cotton. We didn't raise cotton, but we had the vegetable. We call it. We had the vegetable crops, and that's still there. So we have to show the children the rows, and all. And then my dad was an herb doctor, so we point out certain like mullein, the sassafras bush, and all like the mulberry bush, different things that we use as herb. And bitterweed, bitter. But it was good for dealing with fever, chinaberry, all those things. The children, we had pointed out to them how we used to live and how we made made in meat. And then we have these four sheds, two houses. One was for the chicken house. One was the chicken house.
Mm-hmm.
And one was for keeping the corn and the peas, dry corn and peas. And we had peanuts and all. Then we had a tool shed. Then we had a clothes house. We didn't have closets in our home. We didn't have a closet. We had to go out to a little house. And we had to, and some people had kitchens disconnected from the house because if you have a fire in the house or in the kitchen, you won't destroy everything.
Right.
You have something left. You won't be completely without. Because we didn't have a fire department.
Right.
To come to us. And it was just a lot of things we didn't have. We had to think of ways. We had to think of ways to survive.
Right.
And maintain. So we make children aware of that. It's hard to hold their attention to it, but that's one thing about it. They know I don't allow phones. And do you know, I don't have to say anything to them about phone. And I told them, I said, I do what I did in public school. Bring the phone to school. They're mine until May. Until school is out. So they don't deal with phones. They only can use the phone if I give them permission or whatever. And then if they want to go to the restroom, they have to ask for permission. And I told them that it's not, I'm not going to say yes, you can't go to, no, you can't go to the restroom, but the children need to learn to respect authority. Right. It doesn't hurt to respect authority.
That's right.
I tell them about my husband. I say, I'm as smart as my husband. I might, in some areas, I'm smarter than he. But that wasn't the deal. He was the head of the home.
That's right.
God said so. So therefore, I just let him be and help him to be.
That's right.
It didn't bother me at all.
Didn't make you any shorter or tall. Folks, and see, that's what, look, it worked. It worked. It will work again. And we just refuse because now everybody's got a degree and they've done their master and doctoral thesis and they want to try it out on folks. These are people's lives.
Well, if it doesn't work at your house, I'm going to see what you're going to try it out on. I'm not interested in anything that's not working for you. If you recommend something, like you're going to sell me a Ford car and, you, and you're driving something else,
right?
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Like, so you're selling Hoover vacuum cleaning, but you don't have one in your own house.
You got to be about that life. Yeah. You know, one of the things, folks, I will say to you out there, if you have a child who's just got given some discipline problems or just, you know.
They're just innocent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just innocent. Yeah. Innocent children just don't know.
They don't know, and they've got that insolent attitude. And I promise, you take them over there a couple of classes, they're gonna come back with a different attitude. They are going to come back with it, and they're going to respect Sister Johnson. And it's not like she's standing up there, you know, ready to arm wrestle somebody or, wrap them across the fingers. It's the way she approaches them, and they respond to it. I've seen kids sit at the back of the room with their arms folded, the first day they get there, and then by the time they're in the end of the class, they're responding. In the next class, they're participating. So there is a method to the madness. It's called just good old-fashioned home training. And you learned it, and why wouldn't you want to pass it on to your kids? You're prouder when you hand your resume across the desk to someone to be able to tell them what a great person you are, what you've been able to do. That's because somebody taught you.
Yes, somebody taught you. You learned it from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't come here knowing.
Right.
But when I turn children on to thinking, that's my main thing. I ask them, what Ms. Johnson want to do for you? They say, make us thinkers. If you turn people on to thinking, they'll change a lot of things in their lives.
Yeah.
But I was thinking it's too shallow.
Mm-hmm.
We have to think the thing through, not just how it feels at this moment. But you have to think about what's afterwards, because there is an after.
That's right.
It's not always going to stay in the moment.
That's right.
So when children say, "Let's go with the moment," you know, don't think just go in the moment. No, life is not in the moment. That's just one part of it. You got to move on after that.
You'll pay a price. And you know, I was listening to that video before you got here, and it goes to the things that you were saying about the young people not being able to really think things through. They can't, like you say, living in the moment or that type of thing like that. But at the end of the day, what these kids are going to be able to get, like I gave, when my girls moved out to Dallas, I went and got me a Rand Atlas, you know, those old fashioned map books. So I took, had the city of Dallas page laminated. I gave everybody a copy, all the grandkids a copy, son-in-laws, everybody got the copies. Now, I asked them, I said, now, you guys been using the map? Oh, Dad, we don't need no map. We got GPS. I said, baby, The purpose of giving you the map so you can get in your mind spatially how this city is laid out. Yeah, the GPS will take you there, but do you know how you got there? And if you didn't have the GPS, could you get there, get back? And so, you know, I try to teach my grandson how to use the compass and things like that. But those are the things that they just don't think they need it because, again, they got all the electronic devices.
Yes, but they don't work all the time.
Mm-hmm. But they learn how to think. That's what you're teaching them.
See, they think they can work their way through. Like if they're thinking about that map like you're talking about, they can figure it out. They just take a little time. They can write it out, the route they want to go. Like my sister wanted to help me with something. She said, but my computer is down. life doesn't wait until your computer comes up.
That's right. That's right.
You either ready or you're not.
There you go.
If you're ready, life will let you go forward. If you're not ready, you stand back. You can't move.
You want to help your child learn how to think, them on the path for the hunger to learn how to think and analyze, perceive, and compare and conclude. It starts right here. Sharon and Karen School, it's only, what, $15 a class?
$20.
$20 a class. Mm-hmm. And so your kids are getting life skills. They learn how to write out a check. They learn how to read. Many kids don't know how to read a analog watch with the hands on it.
Yeah, that's true. And then they learn how to do stitching, too. I call it stitching because I just teach them how to thread a needle and put a knot in it and how to go up and down just so they don't have to throw everything away because it's torn.
Right.
Or because the hem is falling out. Mm-hmm. You see, they can actually sew.
There you go. Let's take a quick break. Our number is 601-879. Well, we ain't got but a few minutes. We'll be right back. It says the same. All right, the final few minutes of this hour with our good friend Janie Johnson. The book, The Story and Teachings of Janie B. Johnson, that's with an A, on Amazon.com. And the Karen and Sharon School is located on Robinson Spring Road, been there over 100 years.
Yes.
And it's the real deal, Holyfield. And if you have a child, you teachers, you coaches out there, you got a child who's got a lot of potential, but, you know, you can't reach them, or you parents, you can't reach your child for whatever reason. I'm telling you, the classes will do that child. Look, what do you have to lose? You're spending on lawyer fees if trying to keep that child out of jail. Janie, I'm going to let you finish up here, but whatever you want us to know, we got about 3 minutes.
Yes, I deal with those children too, but I don't. When they come to me, I don't even ask them about the past and what's going on. I just teach them what they need to know, need to know about, because I do know life. I've lived a long time. Mm-hmm. I've been teaching ever since 1958, so I've been with it in public school, private school, now my own school, and innocent children. Now, I do best with 8, 9, 10-year-old. I do best with those. Mm-hmm. Now, if I have our school run from 7, age 7 through 17. We try to take them through high school.
Right.
But I'm more effective with the 8, 9, 10 because they have not really formed their worldview, so to speak. And they're more inclined to hear what I have to say.
Right.
And but the older ones, I have to do a little intervention there. But what I teach, I have lived and I'm living, and it has worked for me. Now, my husband and I was married 60 years, and we never was broke. Mm-hmm. We never were broke. And I was stay-home mom full time. And I said, children, I can tell you about 4 words why. I said, I can tell you why we went broke. And he said, yeah, how? I said, we did not lie to ourselves. We didn't say we had money and that we didn't have. We didn't go out and spend and make bills beyond our income.
Mm-hmm.
We told ourselves, we can't afford that. That's more than we can pay. We don't want our notes to be more than this or more than that. We told ourselves the truth. And the truth did not embarrass us. Some people will lie because they don't want people to know this and know that. And then another thing we were fortunate to, the Lord always has helped us a lot. When you want to do right, the Lord helps you too. He was a commuting pastor. And the car never did break down. The car never did break down on the highway. He was commuted. He commuted for about 24 years. And it never did break down. We always had, if we had car troubles, at the house.
You stood on the faith. You continued to walk it out.
And see, the children had to learn that too, because they're not going to always have the answers. They need to know how to pray. They need to know what to do when you're in a tight, hard situation. You can't fight it out all the time. And to do that, you have to be able to work it out, think it out. And just like you say, not going to make me a shorter, taller. If somebody say that you're a bully or call you some ugly name, that doesn't make you be that.
That's right. You have to know the difference. Yeah. Folks, we appreciate Sister Janie from calling coming in. I have her information if you want it. I'm getting requests, and I've been sending it out to you. My number is 601-594-8882. If you need her contact information, I will send it on to you. God bless you, my friend. Good to see you. Door is always open to you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Gravely, Rebel Ace Hardware.